Now, friends, today we come to 2 Chronicles. If you have your Bible, you'll want to turn there. Now, we saw last time that David had assembled all the material, got all the manpower, gave encouragement to the leaders of the nation Israel and to the people, organized the service of the temple after it was built, provided all the money, and told Solomon to get busy. Now in 2 Chronicles, Solomon is going to get busy. And in 2 Chronicles, it's quite interesting to note the overall outline. And this is where these notes and outlines are helpful. You remember back in 1 Chronicles, it's actually all about David. The first 9 chapters was the genealogies. Well, why give them? You wonder, 9 chapters and just names so-and-so begat so-and-so, and there was a lot of begetting back there from Adam right on down. But it leads to David. And why David? Well, because he leads to Christ, and the New Testament opens the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. That's important, and that's the reason it's given. We're talking about David. We had one chapter about the reign of Saul. And the rest of the book, chapters 11 through 29, is all about the reign of David. Now, in Chronicles, we are getting God's viewpoint, not man's. In the two books of Samuel and the two books of Kings, we get man's viewpoint. It's not that it's not inspired. It is, just as much. But God is giving you the human viewpoint. Now, he's giving you the divine viewpoint. And where was the emphasis? On David. And where did David put the emphasis? On building a temple to God. Now, when we come to 2 Chronicles, 2 things will become very important. Number 1 will be the building of the temple. Solomon will build the temple. And in the first 9 chapters, you have the reign of Solomon. And beginning with chapter 2 through chapter 7, you have here of the 9 chapters, you have 6 of these chapters about the building of the temple. Where's God putting emphasis? On the building of the temple. And that is the greatest accomplishment that Solomon made. The greatest thing Solomon did was that. Now, a great many people always think of Solomon in terms of all the wives that he had. And that, my friend, is something that's quite spectacular. No question about that. But God didn't put the emphasis there. He wasn't in the will of God. God didn't give instructions for that. That was contrary to the will of God, and that brought about the division of the kingdom. Don't tell me he got by with it. He didn't get by with it. Sin brings judgment. I don't care who commits the sin. It'll bring judgment, my friend. And the only way in the world that you can ever get to heaven is to have a Savior. You're a sinner, and you're not on the way to heaven until you have a Savior, and that Savior is Christ. And so we have Solomon building the temple. That's important. God thought it was important, and he gave all that attention to it. Then the second great theme, we'll see the division of the kingdom, and that's not the important thing, however, but we see that when the kingdom is divided, that the kings, as we've seen before in the book of Kings, they're not very attractive. We've made the statement that in Israel wasn't a good king, and there's no emphasis on Israel. The emphasis here is upon the southern kingdom, David's line. That's a bad lot, too. There are not many good ones. But you have 5 of them that are outstanding. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Hezekiah, and Josiah. These 5 kings were the means of bringing revival back to the nation. And we're going to have a great deal to say about revival in this section. I intend to spend a little time on that because we're seeing a spiritual movement today. And very candidly, there's more nonsense about revival than anything else. I quit meeting with a group of ministers many years ago. They were praying for revival. And you know why? The attitude was that if we prayed hard enough, God would send revival. And I was just reading this past week one of the leading lights in the evangelical movement today. He's putting down what you've got to do to bring revival, and if you do it, you'll have revival. Well, now I say to you, I guess I'm rather cynical and skeptical. I don't think that'll bring revival. You know why? To begin with, it's not God's method, and then there's something else. Did you know that God is sovereign, friends? And you're not going to make God do anything? And God has a program, and He's not about to change His program for you and me? And that the important thing today is for you and me to get in step with God? I tell you, there comes down through the centuries and out of eternity and move into eternity the will of God. God pity the little man that gets in front of that steamroller. It'll go right over you, brother. Somebody said, I don't like that. I don't care whether you like it or not. May I say, you're a creature. I'm a creature. And the important thing is not for me to get God to do something. The most important thing is for God to get me to do something. And that's the big problem. Somebody says, but doesn't God want to send? Sure He does. And if you meet His condition, yes, right. But may I say, I don't think they're meeting His condition. I think the whole attitude today, we're going to get to that because I think it's important. I think it's interesting that the spiritual movement that's come about in our day today did not come about by these perspicuous theologians putting down conditions and the churches following them. Because the spiritual movement's not even in the church today. Most of the churches are dead as dodo birds. And the movement today is not among these brainy theologians. I get so tired and weary of reading their material today. Oh, they speak ex cathedra. They've got all the answers, and the only thing is they have answers but no action. There's no spiritual movement. Out of some of our seminaries today is coming all of this material. These professors speak with great authority. They've got a lot of authority, but they haven't any action. And I don't think they have much authority. May I say to you today, my friend, we need to learn to bow to the will of God and to come in very close to Him. Cast ourselves upon Him. And we're going to see that there's certain men, even kings, God used them in a marvelous way because they were willing to take orders and not give orders. Now that brings us to 2 Chronicles. I almost got off there, by the way, but I do get wrought up over this because I do believe that the biggest hindrance to revival are actually the church leadership. They're the ones that are holding it back, have been for years. Somebody says, well, McGee, you sound like a revolutionary. My friend, I've been a revolutionary ever since I entered the ministry. Only thing is nobody ever listened to me, and that's the reason, was because I have said from the very beginning that we don't bring it about by these theologians. It doesn't come that way, and that we don't need to listen to them. We need to listen to the Word of God, and that's the reason we're trying to give out the Word of God. Now, I've got some ideas myself. And the only thing is, I'm retired now, and I found out all these years, these brilliant ideas and these programs that are indeed brilliant that I worked out. You know something? God never did use them. I don't think He can use them now, and I'm beginning to suspect that this doesn't come about that way. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by brain nor by brawn, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Hard to learn that, by the way.